now for our pastor, Brother Chick.
All right. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 6. That's where we get on at, and then we'll just go from there. We are having a series of studies called Why Do Christians Give Up? Why do you say, do I come to church here and find good excuses why to give up? There's never a good excuse to give up, amen? Maybe we'll address some of the problems at hand. It's good to have Brother Josh's family with us. His mother's here and his brother and sister. And I told his mother, I said, I should have gained some brownie points and said, your two sisters are here, you know. And every preacher needs some brownie points. She said, oh, I already know that. So, but it's good to have you all. And it's only about an hour and 10 minutes away. We could have you every service. We would like that, isn't that right? And when they came, they'd have a place to stay, amen? And Brother Josh, he would have dinner ready. Now, dinner's at noon and supper and that kind of stuff, so we'll work on that, okay? God bless you. I love you. You know that? Thank you. Let's turn to John chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 66. Listen to that, 666. Isn't that just like the devil works? And you look at this verse and we're going to see how the devil worked. He says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, at the very beginning, we explained why what was happening. He was telling of his death and how he's going to have to die, and that he was the bread of life and the living water, but they wouldn't understand it, but they will at one point. But it's a shame that people that come in contact with Jesus, that they walk away from him, whether they're lost or saved, that they walk away from him. Now, Lord, be with this message today. Help us to get out of your word what we need for our personal lives, to encourage us to be what we should be for you, a shining light in a dark world. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, if you'll go over to the book of Hebrews, we've been looking at the book of Hebrews in parallel with this, and Hebrews is a wonderful book that calls into to order the fact that we are the children of God and we need to serve Him. But we've looked at, since we've started, we've looked at Christians become a deadly drift. And we as Christians, we don't need to just drift down the river, and trash does that by itself, amen? We're fighters and we're goers and we move uphill. Number two, we talked about we allow unbelief and doubt to slip in our minds. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is real and He's alive. There's no reason to doubt. There's no reason to wonder. I tell you, God is the answer. Nextly, we looked at we allow boredom to enter into our life. Boredom. You say, well, I've been serving the Lord for so many years, I've just become bored in service. How in the world can you become bored in the service of the King? I find it very exciting. I find it's not the same every day. I don't think boredom ought to even be considered with Christianity. Now, this next one we looked at, we become lazy. Well, maybe lazy will cause us to be born. But you know what? God never gave birth to a lazy Christian. Amen? He expects us to be a working Christian and somebody on fire for Him. And then we looked at the devil helps us isolate ourselves. And you know, one of the greatest destructions of anybody is to become isolated. And we are a people that are of a group, and when people start to want to isolate themselves from everybody else, there's a deep-seated problem there, because we are a group-type people. And I've had people say, well, I could go on an island and live all by myself. Well, you can, but you'd go bonkers, because you've got to have communication. It's important, and when you don't, there is a problem. If the devil can isolate you from the children of God and from God's house, and try to isolate you from the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you what, you won't be long until you're sick spiritually. And then this sixth one, okay? Christians become And this is why a lot of Christians give up, is they become in an atmosphere of pity party. Now, I know people don't want to hear about this, but it's true. Out of all the people that should be thrilled and happy and gung-ho about serving God, Christians so many times start throwing a pity party. Now, we don't like to hear people's pity parties, do we? We have the, when I was growing up, they would, when somebody started having a pity party, we didn't call it pity party until some years later, but you'd have somebody going like this, and you say, well, what are you doing? Well, that's the smallest violin playing how heart bleed for you, you know. Or they'd go like this, what is this? Well, that's a record player, you know, playing for you, how sorry they are for you. Now, you kids don't know what a record player is, that's okay. But they used to have them along with 8-tracks. Yeah. And I never understood how that 8-track could go. Well, that's another story. How that thing worked, that just dumbfounded me. Okay? But we begin to have pity parties and say, well, nobody appreciates me. And I go to work there and I go early and ride the bus and I try to get the kids come. I go visit. I visit my Sunday school class, or I come in and weather the sunshine to get to church, and just nobody appreciates me anymore, you know? Oh, no, 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 no. You are appreciated. Sometimes I don't think we count the cost of being a Christian. You remember Christ Jesus came to his disciples, and he's going to wash their feet, getting ready for service. And he got down on his knees and started the first disciple and went on through. When he got to Peter, Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus, and now I'm paraphrasing this, okay? Jesus said, okay, Peter, just be quiet, sit down, let me do this and everything. No, if you're going to wash my feet, wash my whole body. He didn't need to wash his old body. He belonged to Jesus, amen? He was sitting there showing him service. He was sitting there showing him, yeah, I'm the ruler, and I created all things, but I want you to see service. I want to prepare you for service. And finally, Peter, you know, he did what Jesus told him to do after a little bit of complaining and everything. But folks, we are called as Christians to service. Too many times people get saved and then do nothing for the Lord. I tell you what, when I got saved, I wanted to let people know I got saved. I wanted people on board with me getting ready for heaven. And I trust you're the same way today. But you know, I think sometimes people don't count the cost it takes to be a servant of God. They don't want the sacrifice that it takes to be the service of God. If you look with me down in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm just going to read all four verses, but I want verse 4. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the saints of God in heaven are looking at us, and they are encouraging us, and they're cheering us on. He said, well, I don't hear, but let you know this, they want us to succeed as Christians. They want us to succeed as living a good life for the Lord and a positive life and winning people to Jesus and caring about our neighbors and the people that we work with. And they are encouraging us and excited for us to do something great. He says, since we have such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He says, put all that stuff that's holding you back from serving God to your completeness. Put it all to the side and get ready for the race and run the race with patience. That tells me the race is not a sprint. It's a long distance run, amen? I hated long distance runs. I was a sprinter. I wanted to see the end of it quickly, amen? Because my lungs were getting ready to explode and my legs were starting to turn into jelly and they was wanting to quit. I always had respect for those people who could run the long races. We're in for the long race. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus hated the cross. Jesus hated the shame. Yet he endured it for you and I that we could have eternal life and that we can come to the saving knowledge of heaven. Amen. He said, for consider him. Now him right there is Christ that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. My brothers and sisters in Christ, when we become weary and we feel like we're going to faint from the work of the Lord, remember Christ Jesus enduring that cross for us. Amen. You said, but he's God and it didn't bother him. I won't tell you he's God, but he was God flesh. And it hurt him. It hurt him just like it would hurt you and I. He saw his creation take him and nail him to that cross, which he willingly went. He could have spoke one word and this all would have been gone. But yet his love for you and I kept him on that cross. It kept him to do the service that he came to do. He ran the race with patience. He completed the course that was given to him. He says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now, folks, this is talking to us today. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Let me ask you something. How many of you here today have been locked down in prison because you have served God? Let me ask you this. How many of you have been taken out to the public square and had your shirt ripped from you and been beaten with a cat of nine tails because you served God? How many of you have been boiled in hot oil because you have served God? Nobody. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, in our service, we have not yet resisted unto blood. We have not yet served God and put our lives on the line where it literally caused us bodily injury. So I went up to the door one day and a guy asked who I was and I said I was concerned about his soul. He punched me in the nose and he bled. Well, maybe that would be there. But how many has ever had that happen to you? You see, folks, we work and we love. And the writer of Hebrews says we need to serve God and keep serving Him and continue to love Him. Jesus Christ went to the cross in service and blood gushed out of Him. From His head of the thorns, from the nail holes in His hands and His feet. And I'm going to tell you, when they put that spear in His side, blood gushed. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we serve God faithfully and we don't need the pity party. We have history of our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ being fed to the lions, being slaughtered by the swords, being beat, being boiled, being put in fire. You see, we have that. Yet today we have the freedom of sharing God's blessed word and not have to worry about yet resist even unto blood. You say, but you don't understand. I have a hard life and I'm sorry. You don't understand the problems I have in my life. Well, I'm sorry, but do you understand you serve a living God? Have you taken your problems to God? Have you looked for His answers? Well, yeah, I saw His answers and it didn't sort of match up what I wanted. No. We need to match up to His answers, amen? Our answers won't get Him. I think about the pity party that somebody could have thrown. And I want you to know the devil will try to get us to think that God is asking too much service out of us. We've had people say this, well, I'd like to serve God, but He just asks too much out of me. No, He doesn't. Sometimes the devil will get us thinking that no one appreciates the labor that we do. I want to tell you something, whether or not you're told that you're appreciated, I want you to know you are appreciated for the work that you do for the Lord. There are sometimes thankless jobs. old Brother Craig and Brother Mike up there, they sit up there in their little old hole, and very rarely do we say thank you, but thank you, brother. But you know what? They're doing some work for the Lord, and they're stuck up there, and they do it, and they ought to understand that this is my ability that I can give to God. Those people who ride on the buses on Sunday morning in the heat of the summer and in the cold of the winter to go get children and families to come to church, I'm sure it'd be easy for them to say, oh, I'm just not appreciated. I want to tell you something, you are appreciated. God appreciates what you do for Him. Amen. Let's go to the book of Luke, and I'm going to go through this thing fairly quickly, but I want you to understand that we don't need pity parties. We don't need people with the attitude of nobody appreciates me, or, oh, you don't know what my lot is in life. We don't need any of that. Let's read real quickly in the book of Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Now this is Luke chapter 14. Now I'm in verse 17. And he set his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Then they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excuse. Another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused. And the other said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now my dad used to preach this message, and he called it two morons and a henpecked husband. That was his title, two morons and a henpecked husband. But that's what we see here, isn't it? Let's go ahead and read. And he said, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and to the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. If you look at this story, we see the man, the master, being the symbolism of God. We see that this master had put together a menu. This master had prepared the supper. This master made sure everything was done. I want to tell you something this morning. Mankind is trying to change the menu. Mankind is trying to change the supper. But I'm telling you what, the master put it together and we don't need to change it. We don't need to change the food. We don't need to change the menu. We don't need to change anything because the master put it together the way that it pleases him. Amen? Amen. So first of all, we see the master's got this thing figured out. He's done all the thinking and the calculating, and he's put it all together. Number two, we see an invitation went out to three. We see the one said he bought a piece of land and he had to go see it. I want to tell you something. You don't buy land unless you go look at it, because if you do buy land without looking at it, you find you're out in the middle of a swamp somewhere. Amen? Number two, they had a man that bought oxen, a yoke of oxen, five. And he says, well, since I went out and bought them, I need to make sure they work. I'm going to tell you something. You don't buy something unless you see it works, or you're going to buy what? You're going to buy junk, amen? I have bought stuff before without looking at it, and boy, did I get disappointed. Amen? So that was garbage. That was an excuse. I was talking to a lawyer today, not today, but this week, last Friday. And he started talking about excuses. I said, well, when I grew up, the definition of an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Amen. This is what these people were doing. Number three, he said, and he's probably the most honest of all of them. He says, I got married, therefore I can't come. He was probably more honest than the other two. He was just henpecked. Amen. But you see what Christ did. Christ Jesus offered salvation, first of all, to the Jews. Now, many accepted, but as a nation, the Jewish people turned their back on God. That's why the Scripture tells us that he went into his own, and his own received him not. But boy, I tell you what, he opened up salvation's gate, and praise God because he opened it up. Terry Chick here today can stand knowing that Jesus lives in his heart. Amen. Oh, what a blessing. But you think about this. Here we go. The table is set, and the plates are out there, and the silverware is out there, and the cups are out there, and the dishes are laying along the side with the napkins, and the chairs are in order. Everything's there prepared to set people down and to take care of their need. Yet there was a problem. Nobody came to the supper. This angered the master. And he told his servants, I'll tell you what I want you to do. He says, I want you to go out and I want you to go quickly. And I want you to go into the streets and the lane of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. The master being angry, he says, now, servants, you go out right now into the streets and you start bringing in everybody you see. You see somebody that's poor, you bring them in. You see somebody that's maimed a little bit, you pick them up and you carry them in. I want this house filled. And can you imagine after setting up all the ware of the supper, the plates, silverware or plasticware, whichever you use. And then the master tells me I need to go out and compel people to come in and set them down. And so they did that. I mean, they went out quickly. He says, go quickly. And I mean, they beat feet. Brother Tony, they didn't let grass grow underneath their feet. They went out there and they worked hard and they brought people in. They sat them down. And the servant went and looked to the master and he says, Master, we have done everything that you've asked us to do, yet there's a lot of room. And the master says, okay, I want you to look further than where you've been. You've been to the city streets. You've been to the lane. He says, now I want you to hit the highway. I want you to go into the countryside. I want you to go and push yourself's limit just a whole bunch more and bring those people in. Can you imagine what those servants probably could have thought? Man. What in the world is that master doing to us? First of all, we had to get everything out, get the table prepared, get everything in order, work the menu that he gave us to work, and get everything just the way. And then he tells us to go out to the street, and I've got to carry somebody in to the house, and I've got to put him in the chair. And this person here, he's so poor and needs a bath, and I had to bring him in, and this and that. And now he wants me to go out and go to the highways and the hedges, and he wants me to go to the countryside. What in the world is he doing to me? Doesn't he appreciate what I've done for him already? Can you imagine a servant maybe thinking that? Man, we ask people to come to church on Sunday morning. Oh, I don't know. I've had a hard week. Oh, we've all had hard weeks, amen. I get to work all week and then work on Saturday. And people say, Sunday's my only day off. I don't even get a Sunday off, folks. Amen. I said, man, I work on Sunday and I find a way to get to church. That's what I tell them. Well, man, I tell you what, we get there on Sunday and then that preacher gets up and says, if you're a Christian, let's see your hand. Oh, we got a lot of sinners here. If you're a Christian, you lift up your hand. And he says, then everybody's got their hand up, ought to be back Sunday night. And then the crazy guy wants us to come back Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Well, he's just asking too much. The master's asking too much. The Lord wants too much out of me. Hey, he's not asking too much. He's asking us to come together and refresh and to get recharged so we can go out into the world and take his blessed gospel. Amen. Oh, on top of that, on my own time, you want me to ask somebody to church? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sure do. Sure do. I can imagine these servants saying, what is going on? Man, we had these people lined up and they refused. And then he had us going to the city streets and we got everybody and there's still room. Then we went into the highways and hedges. And he told us to compel them to come in. I think compelling's a lot different than asking. Brother Jake, I could say, Brother Jake, sure like for you to be here. Say, okay, you know, that's one of those kind of things. Yeah, if I get around to it. Somebody go in my office to get me around to it, amen? I got one of those. But there's another way. It's not just asking, but it's a compelling. A compelling. And it's one of those things that you put a lot of energy into it. I can say, you know, Georgie, I'd sure like for you to come to church. And can have one of those kind of things. But I can say, Georgie, you know I love you. And you know I'm concerned about you. And I want the best out of your life. And I'm going to tell you there's a place over there at 309 North 11th that will love you and your family. That will encourage you. And I promise you, you'll get fed from the Word of God. And God will change your life. And God will bless your life. And you'll have a life like you never had before. Please come. That's compelling. That's compelling. They're not going to take you to a church as all they do is give you a concert and a pat on the back. They're going to tell you what God wants out of your life. They're going to tell you how to really be happy in life. What God really wants out of us. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we need more Christians that don't get discouraged and throw pity parties and say, well, what's in it for me? Hey, what was in it for you? You got eternal life in heaven. All the rest is really plush, amen? Happiness. Peace. You say, well, I'm not seeing much happiness and peace. Well, where have you walked? But you don't understand. When you become a Christian, doesn't mean your life gets perfect. Oh, let me help you understand. I know that better than anything. But I want to tell you, any problem I have, my God can fix. Any discouragement that I have, my God has an answer for it. Now, I might not know how or what way, avenues he's going to fix it, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to serve him, I'm going to love him, and I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to know that anything in my life that happens is going to bring glory and honor to his name if I stay with him. Amen. We still have people today in the world who get saved and their families disown them. We still have places in this world today that if you become a Christian, they will try to kill you. We had a missionary to see us a couple, 3 years ago. And they were at the church with a men's meeting. Some men came into the church with guns, took the missionary and some of the brethren, threw them in the back of the truck. They tied him up and they knew that they were going to die. One guy wrestled around enough to break free and he jumped out of the back end of that truck. Missionary said you could see his body just roll. They got to the place where they were going to take him and kill him. They was one mouse short. And they asked the missionary and the other brother, what happened to this person? He got out. And he's contacting the police and they're coming to get you. The crazy guy went to the missionary's wife's in the missionary's house. And he told them that they got stolen. They were kidnapped. Well, he actually told them they were dead because he thought that's what their main deal was. But because God helped that one guy get out, those men got so afraid, they left him. And they found those two guys. That missionary's wife that thought her husband was dead found him alive. People still endure these kind of things. Just doesn't seem like it happens in America as often. Let me ask you this. If we have such freedom to take the blessedness of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be able to take this blessed King James Bible, amen, and put it in their lap and show them how they too could have eternal life, hope of eternal life with God. We have nothing really to stand in our way. What's wrong with us Christians that we can't take the Word of God to people without Jesus and give them the opportunity to let Jesus come into their heart? This morning, if you're here and you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, I'm telling you by the Word of God, before you leave God's house this morning, this sanctuary, you can know that Jesus lives within your heart. The book of 1 John chapter 5 says you can know. You can have that satisfaction in knowing that He lives in your heart. You can know that you know God. Better yet, God knows you. If you'll only let Jesus come into your heart. Christians, why do we not want to serve a living God? Why are we so happy and sitting back doing nothing when God did everything for us? Why don't we care for those that we're around to make sure that they're in a place where they can know that Jesus will save them? You go some places today and they say, just live the best you can. I want to tell you something. You can't live good enough to get into heaven. You go to some places, oh, God's already got it decided. And whether you're ready or not, no matter whether you want to accept Him or not, God's already got that predetermined. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Book of Romans chapter 10 verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today without Jesus, I want to tell you, you're that whosoever. He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. And all those who have accepted Jesus Christ should want to take up the service of the cross and live daily for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't mind living on Sunday morning for Jesus. No, 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 no. Take up our cross daily and follow Him. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around.